former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is our number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Dave Ross in for Femi today alongside our GM, Michael Lombardi. Michael, I want to get to a lot of the things you had to say in your 2024 NFL draft notes in the writing spotlight today. But before that, I want to ask you about some very interesting comments that I saw come out of Pittsburgh. I've got an affinity for Danny Smith back in his DC days as their special teams coordinator. I think he's one of the best in the biz. And he's at Pittsburgh these days, been there for quite some time now. And we heard a comment that came from Jaylen Warren that said that basically Danny Smith said that with these new rules that we're going to have this year in 2024 NFL with the kick return rules, that Justin Fields, you know, former quarterback of the Bears, might play a little special teams. Is that just to give other defenses and special team coordinators nightmares, or is that a possible reality in the Steel City?
Well, it's hard to have a nightmare if you've never seen it before, right? Right. And so, like, it would be a nightmare if they put, you know, a returner, if Cordell Patterson was back there, who they have on their team, right? That would be, that's the one who's going to create the nightmare. Putting Fields back there, certainly he fits the criteria of what you need back there now, size, speed, power, right? Initial fast speed, right? You got to get going because if you can break it, everybody's so close together. It's just if you get a crease, you got a chance to get it going and the return game will be back into it. The only thing wrong about this new rule is it's taking the onside kick out of it. But look, Fields has got size and speed just like Patterson does. And Patterson, we know, is one of the all-time great kickoff return guys. I mean, I don't know if there's many guys that you feel like could change the game like he has. And I think ultimately, you know, that Fields fits that pattern. And I don't know if they want to do it or if they just want to get him on the field a little bit to get him going. But certainly the one thing when Fields takes off and goes, it's a problem. He can run. I mean, that's the strength of what he does is running. It isn't throwing.
Mm. Do you like this new rule, Michael? Do you think it's going to inject the return game again? If that, well, it's so funny. They tried to get the return game out for so long, it felt like. Right, to get rid of that because the physicality of it. Now they're trying to bring it back in.
Well, what they've tried to get rid of is the collisions, the running and the buildup of collisions. Right, that's what they wanted to get out of the game. That's where they feel like is the most susceptible to injury. Right, is the player running 30 yards at full speed and collides with another player who's run 20 yards at full speed? Oh no, what happens? Mm. So, you know, this takes that out of it a little bit. It's still going to have violent collisions because we see violent collisions on a 5-yard run when a safety comes downhill and tackles the back in the hole. That's not going to go away. But I do like it. I just don't like the ability, as someone who understands you have to manage each game differently, is when you take out the onside kick. And look, I'm complaining about maybe 0.05% of the games. Right? Because onside kicks aren't a part of every single game. But there are some times you want to gain an extra possession. But to me now, with the way the rules are, you know, you still got to practice your onside kick, but you have a much better chance at getting the ball back because, you know, they have to declare they're on an onside kick at the end of the game. So when you're down 2 scores, you know, you're going to have to, hey, we're onside kicking here, and you get your hands teams out there and you got a chance to see it. I do like the return coming back into the game. That I do like. I don't like taking the onside surprise out.
Let's talk a little bit about the Steelers in some more depth here, because I know you've written this up here in your draft notes, in your writing spotlight here. When it comes to teams that I think maybe adjusted win totals because of what they've done in the offseason, not just with the draft, but also free agency. And the Steelers are one of those teams that you highlighted here. Tell me what you like so far about what the Steelers have been able to do in the offseason.
Well, I think every team, when the season ends, you have to evaluate your team in 3 areas, right? That's what I wrote about in Gridiron Genius. You know, when you're in the National Football League in a front office, you're basically like a veterinarian. The patient never speaks to you. You bring your dog to the vet and the dog doesn't say my paw hurts, or the dog doesn't say my ears bother me, right? The vet's got to have a systematic approach to figure out what's wrong. It's the same thing with football teams, same thing with sports teams. This is where what JVT said in the last hour about team construction. This is how you build teams, is through understanding players, coaches, and schemes. Those three areas, how the players fit within the scheme, how the coaching develops the players within the scheme. And when those three are married together, you will get positive results. You'll get teams that look a lot better than what we perceive their talent level. And that's been the case with Pittsburgh, right? Everybody doesn't think Mike Tomlin's going to win many games, but yet he does. And this offseason, I think they've really improved their team. Because I think Arthur Smith, for whatever anybody wants to talk about him, and it's all his fault that happened in Atlanta, because we know Super Bowl winning GM Terry Fontenot is undisputed heavyweight champion of the world in building teams. We understand that. So it was all Arthur Smith's fault why they won 21 games over the last 3 years. But he can run the football, and he understands how to build a running game, and he understands how to do a play action pass game. And the improvements that they made, the Steelers in their offensive line, will certainly help that. And then defensively, they've been searching for a player to replace Ryan Shazier since 2017 or 16, 17, I think, when he got hurt. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was 19. You know, and so because of that, what people don't understand, and this happens on Twitter quite a bit, David. You know, people make fun of the Steelers when they see a linebacker trying to cover a slot receiver. Well, they don't really understand the defense at all. They're just making fun of something that they don't know anything about. Right. The reason that happens is because they're running a certain coverage and that backer has first to flat, and they need speed at backer because they want to rush their two rush ends. So they need their two inside linebackers to really defend the width of the field. And they've lacked that. You know, they really have lacked that. Landon Roberts. I mean, go through all the guys, Miles Jack. Mm. They brought in guy after guy after guy to fill that void, and they haven't been able to do it. I think they have this year with Patrick Queen. And I think really the rookie that they drafted, Peyton Wilson, in the third round, I think that gives them a lot of versatility. Now, they're not great in the secondary in terms of their corner. Joey Porter's got to play really well. But I like the team, and I like the team's toughness, and I like the coaching. I like the new scheme they'll employ offensively, and I like the talent they've assembled around that team. So you're going to see players make plays. I mean, look. This team with George Pickens and Roman Wilson, who they drafted in the third round, I think they've got a chance to create some noise in a really, really hard division.
But stay in the Keystone State, and certainly as a Cowboy backer, I was not pleased to see the Eagles and what they've done in the offseason, because I'm with you, Michael. I think they've upgraded, starting with the coordinators, but also what other moves, tangible moves with the players and their draft did you like about what Howie Roseman and company have been able to do there in Philadelphia?
Well, I think what Philly did this offseason is they said, okay, what happened last year? Why were we so bad? And we were really bad because we're old in the secondary. That was one of the things. And we were really bad because our defensive front, which we count on to cover up all the sins of our defense, wasn't what it needed to be. But more than anything, they didn't get the same production out of Jalen Hurts. He was aloof. He wasn't connected to the team. And I think they let Miles Sanders go, and they felt like we can replace him with Swift. But they missed the power. Their offensive line was still really good, but they missed the power. And I think signing Barkley wasn't about to improve their running game. Signing Barkley was about to improve Jalen Hurts, to give him more of a play-action pass. Because 2 years ago, they scored 204 points in the second quarter. And that's where they built leads on team. And then that allowed their defensive line to achieve 60 sacks of the 70 that the team got. And so there were complementary football going on there. And that was really important. And I think what the Eagles have done this offseason is they've tried to regenerate that defensive front. They signed Bryce Huff from the Jets. Basically, they traded Hassan Riddick for Bryce Huff, right? Riddick had a good year, but they traded him out. Now, they got to get Carter and Davis, the two Georgia kids, to play well. But for the most part, their team is pretty solid. And if Barkley can stay healthy, they've improved the secondary with the addition of Mitchell and DeJean. And they've improved their front. And so, look, they're always going to be light at linebacker. That's just how the Eagles operate, right? Whether it's N'Kobe Dean or Jeremiah Trotter Jr. or Devin White, who was kind of seen better days, or even Oren Burks, who played with the Niners last year. They're always going to go light at linebacker because they're not going to put any money into it. So that front's really got to come through for them. And I think it's going to be a huge year for those two tackles.
Let's go out west, the two L.A. teams. Let's go with the Rams, because Sean McVay, you lose 99. Aaron Donald, he retires. But do you think that they've done enough, despite losing that monster and Hall of Famer to be, that they've still upgraded in the offseason?
Well, you know, look, he's not a replaceable player. In my last book, Football Done Right, he was in the top 50 players, and I wrote it 2 years ago. You know, by the time it comes out, it takes a while. So, you know, he's unreplaceable. Let's face it. You don't just turn around and replace Reggie White. You don't turn around and replace Aaron Donald. But Brendan Fisk is a really good player. Thankfully, you know, Super Bowl winning GM Terry Fontenot didn't think he was good enough, and the Rams gave away a lot to trade up to get the tackle. Terry decided to take a kid from Clemson who was third team all ACC. Think about that for a while. But the draft really proved two defensive front players that they needed. Verse from Florida State and then Fisk from Florida State too. That'll help. And then they've improved their offensive line. They want to be an inside zone team. They want to run the inside zone, and they improved both their guard position. They got Dotson playing at a higher level last year than he did for Pittsburgh, and they signed Jonah Jackson from Detroit. Now, they got to stay healthy. We know that. And they've got really good skilled players, and Stafford's got to stay healthy. He wants another contract, more guarantee. But the addition of Williams and Blake Corum in the backfield, when Williams was humming last year, they could run the football. So I really like what they did. I like the Rams team. I still think they're behind in depth. Their corner situation is going to be tenuous in terms of, can White come back from the injuries that he sustained in Buffalo, and can they cover? They've got two corners on their team, starting corners that were basically cast off from the teams that let them go. Darius Williams from Jacksonville and White from Buffalo. So that's going to be the concern.
Yeah, it is fascinating because I think most people look at Sean McVay and think that he airs it out. No, you're exactly right. He wants to run the football first. Blake Corum is going to be interesting to go with Williams there in that backfield. All right, when we come back, let's talk more NFL draft from a guy who's been there, done that as well. Bucky Brooks from the NFL Network is going to join us next right here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Timmy Abbafe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you ready to become your own sports betting expert? Well, look no further than a VSiN Pro subscription, your ticket to insider insights, exclusive data, and winning strategies. For a limited time only, we're going to be offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, you can now grab your subscription for just $199. So sign up today. We're going to give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use the promo code Lombardi. So with VSiN Pro, you're going to gain instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which and who has the best win percentage in ROI, 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems from professional handicappers, our exclusive betting splits, showing you where the money and the bets are moving for every single game. So visit VSiN.com/subscribe today. Claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with the promo code Lombardi. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Michael Lombardi, Dave Ross here as we continue this edition of the Lombardi Line. Michael, I know we always love to catch up with Bucky Brooks, of course, does a great job at the NFL Network, knows all about this draft process very, very well, joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Bucky, this time of year, now that the draft has come and gone, and I always love it getting from Michael's perspective, as a former player's perspective, what would you tell somebody getting ready to go to those rookie camps this week here for six of those NFL teams? What's that first impression like after you've been drafted?
I would start telling them right after the combine, right after they finish their pro days, that they need to change their training to put themselves in the best position to be in great shape. Because so much of what you're doing when it comes to mini camps and OTAs and training camp requires you to be in great shape so you can focus. And the one thing that you don't want to do is you don't want to be in survival mode when you should be focusing on thriving within the respective scheme that you're playing in. And I think most young guys miss the importance of the conditioning because this is the longest year of their kind of pro playing career because they never have a break. They go from playing on the field to doing the all-star games, to doing the combine, to then like jumping right into the pro stuff, playing the regular season, then the postseason. And so if you're not in great shape, you're going to fall off in the middle of the regular season. So that would be my advice to them. Get in the best physical condition that you can so you won't necessarily hit that rookie wall.
Yeah, and that rookie wall gets them all. And that's why we see so many guys with hamstrings, because you can tell them, but they think they got it. And you know they never do. Bucky, I want to know, what was your reaction the minute you heard that the Falcons selected Michael Penix?
I feel like this is deja vu, because I've heard your take on this so many different times, right? I've listened to the show, I've listened to you on the Lombardi Line, and I know, like, where you come from it. Well, my biggest thing is, and I think you've made great points in the past on this, like, the Atlanta Falcons, if Michael Penix was going to be the guy, the Atlanta Falcons knew that, because you had opportunities to see him not only during the regular season, you see him during the Senior Bowl, you talk to him and saw him during the combine, and all of that stuff happens before free agency. So to me, I was surprised to say one. And then I tried to back up and was like, okay, well, look, the Green Bay Packers have done this thing with Jordan Love or whatever, but they've never done it to this degree. Meaning, when I was in Green Bay and they talked about always having a quarterback plan, it was, hey, we're going to draft one well ahead. But to pay top of the market for a free agent quarterback, then to go pay top 10 currency for a quarterback at that point, when a top 10 pick has to be a player that you think is going to be a top five player within 3 to 5 years, we've never seen it. And so I understand the plan, but the execution is so faulty that it's hard for the Atlanta Falcons to ever be right in this. Because if Kirk Cousins plays well and he sits on the sideline, you've given up what should be a blue chip player for the next, 4 to 5 years, making immediate contributions. If Kirk Cousins doesn't play well, you paid a lot of money for a player that doesn't play well, and then you're going to play this top 10 pick. So I understand always wanting to have a succession plan in place, but I've never seen it been as an expensive an adventure as the Atlanta Falcons decided to make it.
Yeah, nice way to phrase it. It's going to be an expensive adventure for sure for the quarterback room down there in the ATL. Bucky, when you look at maybe non-quarterbacks, and we saw six of them go, obviously, in the top 12 picks, is there anybody else out there that you think can make a real immediate impact as we always look in the futures market here for certain teams? Is there a player or two that you think maybe flew below the radar?
Yeah, like the most important thing, like in the scouting process, is fit in scheme. How does a player fit in scheme? And what you hope is that people draft towards that. To me, I can't think of a better fit in scheme than Laiatu Latu going to the Indianapolis Colts. The Indianapolis Colts want to use a four-man rush. They want to free these guys up with like wide nine alignments. And Laiatu Latu is the best pass rusher in the draft. He can win with speed. He can win with quickness. He can win with power. He has a full toolbox of movements that allows him to win in a variety of different ways. And so for me, he's a perfect fit for what the Indianapolis Colts want to do and how they want to play. So I'm really, really impressed with like him potentially being able to go and do it. And then I would say this, like, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers not only knocked it out of the park with their first round pick, but I think they drafted to their brand. So Troy Fontana being able to be an inside player, but then you have to backstop it, because to give them Zach Frazier and then Mason McCormick, that gives them three linemen that are rough, rugged. And so as they kind of remake their offensive line, they're doing it to the brand where they want to be a more physical team. I think that works. And then you throw in Peyton Wilson, who I thought was the best linebacker in the draft, who plays like at a different pace when you watch him with his instincts and awareness. If not for the medical, I thought he would be a surefire first round pick. I feel like those guys in Pittsburgh's class will work, and they always kind of nail it when it comes to wide receivers outside the first round. So I just happen to think that they got a bunch of players that should make an immediate impact at all levels of the draft.
Bucky, what's your feeling on the Chargers? I know they picked Alt, and the Giants claimed they were trying to trade up to get Alt at 3, but they never called the Arizona Cardinals at 4, which is shocking. So once Drake May went off the board, they still said they wanted Alt, but we'll see. What's your view on the Chargers and the Rams? You're there in Los Angeles. I think both teams are going to be improved next year. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think both teams are improved. Now, here's the thing about Jim Harbaugh, and it's funny because most times coaches don't telegraph what they're doing. But he's told us since he took the job, it's about the offensive line. It's about establishing the offensive line, because the offensive line is the one position that takes care of everybody, makes everybody better, makes the defense better, makes the offense better, or whatever. And his points right after taking off, we consider the offensive line to be an offensive weapon. To me, I loved it, because when you watch his blueprint for rebuilding teams, it always starts up front of the offensive line. He did it at Stanford. He did it with the Niners. He did it with Michigan. He's going to do it with the Chargers. So I love the fact that Ault was the guy, regardless of people saying, like, oh, they need a wide receiver. I was like, well, that's not how they play. They're going to line up and run it at the line of scrimmage. The Rams, to me, also did a really good job. No one person can replace what Aaron Donald is taking with him when he walks out the door. But the fact that the Rams finally utilized the first-round pick on a power rushing in Jerry Burks, they back it up with Braden Fisk, an interior disruptor who plays with great effort, great energy, great toughness. They go and get Blake Corum, who I think people are missing what the Rams have quietly done. They went from being a zone scheme to a gap scheme. So now you get a player in Blake Corum who played in that scheme, who I believe has like the best feet and vision and body balance of all the running backs that were coming out. They have now kind of found a way to kind of recreate their identity. And with a bunch of young players that they played with last year, I think they're better. So both teams in L.A. are much better today than they were ahead of the draft.
About 90 seconds go here with Bucky Brooks. Does a great job in the NFL Network. Bucky, I got to ask you, we talk about the ATL. We know that Penix, I guess, if best case scenario, he sits for years there. What about J.J. McCarthy? They move up to 10, one spot to get him out of Michigan, and he's sitting behind Sam Darnold. That's not exactly Kirk Cousins. Is this a guy they should play right away, or do you think they're going to kick the tires on Darnold to begin the year?
Look, man, I will say this. I feel like there's this great fascination with Sam Darnold within the league that I don't know if any quarterback has been given the grace that he's been given. I feel like Kevin O'Connell will certainly give Sam Darnold every opportunity to play it out and have a quote-unquote Baker Mayfield moment. But I will say, like, J.J. McCarthy, to me, was really intriguing. And I know, like, on the outside, and some of the things, I know Michael will express this, some of the things that's frustrating on the outside world as a media member but who has real football stuff is people don't have an appreciation for a quarterback who wins. This guy won a lot. And he was, look, a five-star recruit who elected to go to Michigan, who decided to check his ego at the door to play for a running team. This dude brings in intangibles and qualities that I think you can win with. Maybe his ceiling is that of what Alex Smith was, but Alex Smith won a lot of games in this league once he got with the right program. I think in Minnesota, J.J. McCarthy can play like an Alex Smith, have a lot of success because the weapons around him are good. I think he can play right away, even though I normally don't favor guys who don't have a lot of experience. I think he learned how to play the right way under Jim Harbaugh, and I think at some point they may hand him the ball and ask him to win some games in Minnesota.
Absolutely love that as somebody is holding a ticket on the Vikings there to surprise a little bit this year. Bucky, appreciate the time and the information as always. Thanks for hopping on.
Great job, Bucky. Thank you, Bucky. Appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
There he is, everybody. Bucky Brooks, thanks for joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. When we come back, Michael, we got much more to get to, including maybe some betting choices out there for Rookie of the Year. We'll discuss that next when you come back with us right here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't done so already, what are you waiting for? Check it out, VSiN.com. Got best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state. That's always very interesting. Betting tools, betting guides out there each and every day to get you ready for your gambling day. Each morning, check out VSiN.com. Back alongside Michael Lombardi, Dave Ross here as we continue this edition of the Lombardi Line. It is time for Better's Choice, Michael Lombardi. This is with the rookie props that we have out there posted. It's a lot of fun. So we'll give you a little, we'll give you two choices at the numbers associated with those choices, Michael, and tell me which choice you would prefer. Let's start off with a couple guys, one for the offensive Roy, and the other for the defensive Roy. So you can take either Quinyon Mitchell for the defensive rookie of the year at 10-1 versus Jared Verse, and he would be at 11-1. And you talked about Verse a little bit with the Rams, and I think you really like him. What do you make of Mitchell at 10-1 or Verse at 11-1 to be the defensive rookie of the year?
Well, I mean, let's start off with who's voting, right? Mm. And so the people that are voting aren't watching any tape, right? They're only watching how many interceptions does Mitchell get, and that's going to equate to I vote for him. Mitchell could have a great season, an unbelievable year, but if he doesn't have any interception, most of the voters aren't even going to know who the hell he is. So that's the hard one. Verse could get sacks. The Rams could be a good team, and somebody will notice him. So I think I would take the 11-1 Verse over the corner because the corners are hard to judge, right? the ball doesn't come their way. They don't get interceptions. Passes broken up, right? Both teams should be playoff-bound teams, I think, the Rams and the Eagles. But when you look at it, Verse is easier to uncover than it would be for the corner.
Makes sense. And plus, that big market certainly in L.A. is going to help out Jared Verse if, without Aaron Donald this year, he can light it up with numerous sacks. Outside of Caleb Williams, and we'll get to his prop here in a second, when you look at the guy that was taken second overall, that'd be Jaden Daniels, and the guy that was taken fourth overall, Marvin Harrison Jr. to Arizona. So for offensive Roy, between those two, you can have 6-1 on Harrison out of Ohio State or the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback out of LSU at plus 650. I'm assuming we know Harrison's going to be playing snap number one in Arizona. I'm assuming the same is going to be true for Daniels in D.C.?
Yeah, Daniels is playing. We don't have to worry about that. He's going to start. I mean, Marcus Mariota, even if he starts one game, he'll get hurt, and then next thing you know, somebody else will be coming in. So he's going to play. The reality of this is you got to go with Harrison here. It's just 50 cents. You got to go with Harrison because he's going to get the ball. And he's got a quarterback and a really good offensive coordinator to get the football to him. And he's going to be the main target. I mean, somebody's going to have to pick up, because when you look at this team last year, right? You know, when Rondale Moore's not on the team anymore, Hollywood Brown's not on the team anymore. Last year, Greg Deutsch, the tight end, Trey McBride, he was the leading receiver. He got all the balls. And so somebody on the outside is going to catch it. And I think this is going to be Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison will make a ton of catches for them. And I think he's going to have a great season. So for me, I would just, if it's just 50 cents, I'm going to take Harrison Jr.
All right. Not a bad number there at 6-1 for offensive rookie of the year. Let's get to some passing totals. And again, Caleb Williams in Chicago, and you know that city as well as I do. It gets a little bit cold there as it gets later in the year. His number for the over for passing yards is 3,500 and hook. They always throw in that 0.5 for you. So we got to get to 3501. That's minus $1.10. Or Bo Nix, much lower number here at 2850 in the hook. So which way would you go here for the yards total for these two rookies?
I would go with Bo Nix. Not that I don't think Caleb Williams is going to have a good year. I do. But they're going to need to run the football a little bit in Chicago. But here's why I like Nix. Last year, Wilson threw for 3,000 yards. He missed. He didn't play in two games. In those two games, Jarrett Stidham threw for 500 yards. So essentially, the starting quarterback who they didn't love last year for the Denver Broncos threw for 3,500 yards. And to go over 2850, I don't think that's a stretch. So I would take, it's only minus 110. I'll take the lesser yards and go with Bo Nix. Now, we both know both are going to start. The question you have to ask yourself, which one will stay healthy for the 17 games? Hopefully both will. And I'll just take Nix just because it's the lower number. It's both even, you know, we're both getting the same price on it. I'll take the lower number.
I tend to agree. And I think maybe the Bears might run the football a little bit more than people, even though they got those talented receivers on paper right now. I'm right there with you on that prop. I thought Dallas Turner, I mean, I loved him, and he slipped a little bit to Minnesota and getting him 17. So we're going to do a prop here with Leitu Latu against Turner, and this is for the sack totals. So if you like Latu over 7.25 sack, that's even money. The same number, even money for Turner over 7.75 sacks. So you know Brian Flores, I'm assuming, is going to turn Turner loose in Minnesota. Well, we just heard Bucky Brooks talk about Latu and what he might do in Indianapolis. Which way would you go here?
I'm going to take Latu because I think he's the best edge rusher. Turner, they still have Greenard on the other side who they signed, and they got, you know, Van Ginkel who they signed, and they blitz quite a bit, right? So There's a lot of multiplicity within Brian Flores' defensive scheme. Whereas Latu is going to play over at the right end. He's going to rush. You know, he's got Buckner inside to eat up some double teams. He's got Pitts to help him as well. So I just would take Latu because I think he's the best rusher in the draft. I like both players here. I think that's 8 sacks to cash for Dallas Turner. It's 7.5 to cash for Latu. I'll take Latu.
Yeah, I'm excited for both those teams to see what those guys can do on the defensive side of the ball. First two defensive picks where these guys never seen defensive players drop as far as they did in this year's draft. Let's get to some more offensive players here because, again, when you look at Rome Odunze in Chicago, tied to Caleb Williams, of course, he does look like the number three on paper here, even though he was the number nine pick overall. And Brock Bowers, who we believe in Las Vegas right here with the Raiders, is... I don't know what weapon he is in this offense, but he's going to be featured, you would think. His number is 650.5 at minus $1.10. You got to lay a little bit more juice here for Rome Odunze to get over seven, to get at least 701, and you got to lay that $1.25. Would you rather lay the bigger price tag with Rome, or do you think Brock Bowers here in the desert is going to be okay at minus $1.10?
I don't like either of them. I think this is a saint. I think you're giving your money away here. I would take both of them to not go. I would go the under here on both of them because how do you, you know, if Bowers is getting the ball too much, how do you think Davante Adams is going to handle that? If Odunze is getting the ball too much, I think DJ Moore and Keenan Allen are going to handle that, right?
Yeah.
So, like, and then, you know, we know the Bears offensive line is a little sticky, right? We're not sure it's great there. Even Bear fans, I know they don't want to admit that, but they're a little bit worried about that as well. Same thing with the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders, what you're saying with Bowers, you're going to have to be in a 12, you're going to have to be a 12 personnel team pretty much most of the game. What you're saying about the Bears, you have to be an 11 team. That's hard. I think both these players, it'll be interesting to see how many plays they actually play over the course of 17 games. So I like both of them to go under. I think I would play both on an under number.
All right. Speaking of for this prop here, for Bettor's Choice, who's going to play? And this is in New England. And then this is certainly in Minnesota. So J.J. McCarthy versus Malik Nabers, Malik Nabers for the talented wide receiver for rookie yards, receiving yards. He's plus 550. But J.J. McCarthy, is he going to play? You know Malik Nabers is going to play in New York. What do you make of J.J. now? He's plus 350, but you're getting a better number on Malik Nabers. This indicates to me that you believe J.J. McCarthy is going to play sooner rather than later.
Well, this is another smack in Daniel Jones's face, right? You know, because they're saying the Giants can't get him the football. The book's saying that. Now, I'm not saying it. Giant fans, calm down. Everybody calm down here because that's what the book's telling you about your quarterback, right?
Yeah.
That this is really the most talented player who will be a day one starter for the team. And he should start 17 games. But they're saying to you, they're giving you such a great number. It seems so obvious.
Right.
Except if you analyze Daniel Jones, is it obvious, right? I'm all over the neighbors. I think they would get me to fall in the trap. You know, I would be like that commercial where, you know, all the monsters are in the garage and it lets everybody go in the garage. I might get killed, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because I think Nabers is going to be really good. I think he's a good player. I don't trust Daniel Jones. I don't trust Drew Locke. I certainly don't trust Tommy DeVito. All due respect to Tommy. So I would go there.
Let's sneak one more in before in the last minute before we have to take a break. Jaden Daniels or Blake Corum. Over for Jaden Daniels is 500 and a hook. And that's rushing yards here at minus $1.10 or Blake Corum, 500.5 rushing yards. And that's even money.
I think I go Daniels because Daniels' instinct is to run. It's one look and go. It's one look and go. And I think teams will have a harder time understanding how to play him early in the year. I mean, I think he could gain 700 yards. I think I'll take Daniels. Corum's going to split carries. So to me, he's not going in as the starter. You got Gus Edwards there. There's a lot of guys who are going to carry the football there. I would take Daniels here.
Yeah, it feels like I'm with you there. It feels like it might be in committee there in LA with Blake Corum. All right, when we come back, Michael, let's look at the most bet upon teams to win next year's Lombardi Trophy when we come back right here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Do not miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA all the way through the finals. DraftKings Sportsbook's got you covered. Same game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the promo code VSIN. New customers can bet $5, get 200 in bonus bets instantly. That's by using the code VSIN only on DraftKings, and the crown can can be all yours. Back alongside Michael Lombardi, Dave Ross here, putting a finishing bow on this edition of the Lombardi Line. We do have a game seven in the NBA. Feels like, Michael, nobody's talking about this Orlando-Cleveland series at all. Cleveland, by the way, 3.5-point favorites. That total come down to 194.5. Doesn't it feel like the series everybody's just forgotten?
Well, it's such a great series. Yeah. It's game seven. I think the reason everybody's kind of like, one thing about the Knicks and the Sixers, those games were close, right? Man. They, even though one team got a lead, the other team came back, and you know, they were really close, connected games. Same with the Clippers. I mean, and the Mavs, I thought all those games, other than the one last time in Los Angeles, got out of hand quickly. But, you know, they kind of stayed connected, and the Mavs would fight back, the Clippers would. But this has kind of been, there's really been just the one game that has been so tightly connected. I mean, last time down in Orlando, that was a close game, and the Magic kind of put it away. But, I mean, with Donovan Mitchell scoring over 50 points last game, and all these good young players on Orlando's team, you know, for me, I think it's a great series, and I think ultimately it's going to be a challenge for either one of these teams to beat the Boston Celtics. Porzingis is saying he's making some progress and coming back. I don't know if they need him this series. I don't know. But I think this is two good young teams. It'll be interesting what Cleveland does if they don't win here. Is Donovan Mitchell coming back? There's just all sorts of speculation there. So I think it's fun. Look, anytime you get a game seven, it's must-watch TV.
Yeah, and look, Anthony Edwards has been the breakout star so far, but Paolo Banchero out of Duke, rookie of the year last year.
Maybe, he's really good.
He's like, not a lot of people talking about him. I'm with you. Like, he's going to be exciting. This is a big moment for him and a very young Magic team against the Cavs team. Again, short favorites here for the Cavs, laying three. I do want to get back to the NFL here because this is kind of fascinating. This is since the draft, Michael. And I want to get your thoughts on this. The most bet upon team to win and hoist that Lombardi Trophy this year at almost one out of every five tickets has been bet on the Eagles. 21% of the handle has come in on the Eagles. They are 17-1 to win the Super Bowl. But I don't think you think this is St. Jude's money going out there to make a wish. You really think that this is a viable option, that this is going to be a better connected Eagles team than we saw a year ago.
Well, I think, you know, you have to take, again, like, is what I wrote about on VSiN.com, is you got to look at the whole offseason, right? You know, the Giants haven't really taken a major step forward. They wanted a tackle. They wanted all. That's what they say. And then they drafted a receiver. Okay, I'm buying it. Right. And I got some swamp land here to sell you too. But, you know, they haven't really done anything to their team to say, wow, they've really upset. Washington's improved, but we know Washington has a long way to go and they're starting a rookie quarterback. So, okay, now it comes down to Dallas. We know over the last 10 years, Dallas has won the division five times. The Eagles have won it three. And the Washington Commanders have won it twice. But there's never been a consecutive winner. And so you have that. And the Cowboys offseason, all due respect, David, to your fandom, hasn't been stellar. Now, they got a lot of good players in the draft, and hopefully they can come in and play right away. Guyton's going to have to start right away. The center, BB, if you play him at guard or they put him at center, he's got to start right away. That upgrades him. But there's a lot of things that we're unsure of about the Cowboys. Are they really a talented team, or did they overachieve? I say they overachieved last year. Most of the experts say they underachieved. I don't think this is they have talented players. I don't think it's a talented roster. So that in itself, we know Washington and we know New York are under a challenge. And so it leads you back to Philadelphia, who still has their quarterback who played well, has added a really good running back, whether he can stay healthy. They just signed, you know, A.J. Brown's going to be happy. Smith got an extension. So everybody's content. Their offensive line, still the stellar group that they are. I mean, it's logically, it makes all the sense in the world. And I could see why people are doing it, because who's their competition? Their competition would be more, is it Green Bay? Is it San Francisco? Is it the Rams? Is it Seattle? I mean, that's more their competition. I don't see the East. Now, look, the Cowboys, they're good. They got Parsons. They got to get Lamb under contract. They got to get some things done. But this is a desperate year for the Cowboys, and their offseason hasn't really produced anything where you say, wow, they're really going to be good.
Yeah, I'll have Elliot strike it from the record, but I agree with you. I like, to me, if you made me bet, I would bet the Eagles instead of my Cowboys because of all the things you just said. We mentioned it a couple years ago. I thought when they got the A.J. Brown on draft day 2 years ago, it changed the complexion of their offense. He's going to be happy, as you mentioned, with that new contract. Dallas maybe got a little bit better. We'll figure out what's going to happen to running back there, but it's 17-1 for both those numbers. I see why people are betting the Eagles. What's surprising to me a little bit here is you look at the Chiefs, and normally you don't want to play the short number at plus 550. Plus, it's never been done in the history of the Super Bowl era, winning three in a row. But 14% of the handle has come in on the Chiefs. Is this one of those things, Michael, where people are like, let me just gobble up a Chiefs ticket now, and I'll feel a lot better about it come January when we know that they're going to be right where they normally are and, you know, fighting for a chance to get back to the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, it's just, look, they've, you know, I think the worthy pick gave a lot of people the impetus to want to jump in the market, whether at 160 pounds, can he start and play a lot of plays? That remains to be seen. Can they replace Snead? Do they have a left tackle? There's some question marks going there, but how hard is it to bet the best player in football on Patrick Mahomes? I think that's what they're telling us, mm-hmm. right? I think that's what the betting market's telling us. It's all about quarterbacks. And what's surprising is not that the Bear fans are betting the Bears, because we knew this.
Right.
Once that draft was over, there's nobody that puts their money where their mouth is than Bear fans. They love to do it, and God bless them. I love them for doing it. Because if Mitchell Trubisky were playing in any other city but Chicago, no one would have voted for him for MVP, and those Bear fans moved his number. If Justin Fields was playing anywhere but Chicago, his number would have now, of course, he had Danny O behind him and he had the worldwide leader promoting him too. So that MVP, I mean, his MVP number is still good at the Steelers. It's better than Russell Wilson's. It's remarkable. So Bears fans put their money where their mouth is. There's no question. So it doesn't surprise me that 6% is coming in. I actually thought it would be more. I thought Caleb Williams' Rookie of the Year card would go way down. It would be minus money for too long. So that doesn't surprise me. Lions fans are passionate as well, and for good reason. They had a good draft.
Yeah.
They've had a good offseason. Green Bay's had a good draft, good offseason. We think Minnesota can be improved. So the North is going to be tough. You know, the Jets, it's just Aaron Rodgers. I think that's ultimately what's driving it.
20-1 as the number for the Jets, 5% of the handle, 6% of the bets coming in on the Jets. Again, 40 years old. Aaron Rodgers, we heard no restrictions for him coming for the OTAs. I wanted to throw this out before we said goodbye for this
what
edition.
What does that mean, no restrictions? I mean, what does that mean? See, clear to play, no restrictions, clear to play.
That's
it's remarkable what makes news. Clear to go out on the practice field, right?
To throw the
Zach
football.
Zach Wilson didn't get his fifth year picked up. That was news. How is that news? Bella, my dog, wasn't picking up his fifth year option, and she could care less about Zach Wilson. Like, how is this news, right? Like, it would have been news if they picked it up.
Yes.
It's not news that they didn't.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, to me, it's the same thing with the Jets. He's clear. Oh, that everybody's, oh, he's great. He's back. Is Mike Williams clear to play? You know, who else is on their team that's injured that we know? How about Tyron Smith? Is he clear to even go into practice with his back injury? Those are the things that you have to wonder about. And look, this time last year, there was no better team than the Jets. I mean, the Jets, they were the best team in the league. Just ask Robert Saleh.
Well, we saw it on Hard Knocks. Yeah, right. They're going to put all the victims, all the wins, they're going to put them up on the wall. And well, they didn't get a whole lot of those. Very quickly, if I made you bet this prop that's up at DraftKings right now, starting day one quarterback in Minnesota, Michael Lombardi, you got to lay $1.60 for the great Sam Darnold, or you can get plus money with J.J. McCarthy, plus $1.20. We saw this in Indianapolis last year. I thought they're going to go to Gardner Minshew, and then Anthony Richardson was day one guy. Would you play the plus money at J.J.? Well,
But look, the difference here is Richardson's offense is different than Minshew's.
Yep.
Darnold's offense is the same as McCarthy's. So, and the volume that you have to have in the opening day game is too hard. I would not bet McCarthy. I think it's a St. Jude's play because we don't have enough time in the preseason to really evaluate. Like, how are you really going to know? Mm. How can you tell? You know, I think this number will stay stagnant to not move it. Whereas if Minnesota goes and scrimmages against, you know, Cleveland, let's say, and oh, McCarthy looks like he's done really well, maybe the number might move a little bit, but I doubt it. You might get it at that point in August. But why play it now when you tie up your money? Just wait. J- just wait, because I really believe they want Darnold to be the guy. They want to be able to run their offense, not be curtailed by their offense. And that's what happens when you start a rookie. The volume goes way down.
Michael, always enjoy the conversation. We'll do it again next week. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening to The Lombardi Line.